Well, good morning, and it's really, really good to be back. This is probably my seventh trip, and at the end of 2 weeks, I was ready to come home. So, Esther, you missed him too. I know you. You got a gruff appearance sometimes, but deep down, you're really sensitive. So, you get to know a person when you live with him for 2 weeks. And Lord willing, we're going to have a report about our trip to Africa next Sunday when Dave is back so he can participate in as well. But I want you to know that 9 hours ago, they worshiped just like you and I did, and we are right now. They're 9 hours ahead of us in Zimbabwe, and they're continuing to do their work, and they're finishing up today. And they finally crossed the Zimbabwe border into South Africa. And so, Lord willing, they'll be coming home this Wednesday, I believe. It's interesting when you're there, Dave took this picture, and I think it's indicative of what we see there. Everyone's got their Bible open, even though much of our time was spent outdoors. We were under a tree or under a tarp, but we were outdoors. And yet people would sit there sometimes on the ground or on a bench, and they would listen for hours, and their Bibles were open to make sure that we were speaking from God's word. And it's just that receptive and open heart that is just so encouraging. And we'll try to share some of that next week. But I'm glad to be back. I thank you for the prayers. I know some of you are praying at 9 o'clock your time every night and 6 o'clock. Maybe that's why I woke up feeling good every morning, because that was 9 hours later. So I appreciate it so much. I know that BJ will be giving his last lesson next week. And boy, time has flown, hasn't it? And we're excited for his opportunity to move to Texas. So next Sunday morning will be his last lesson here for a while, because I know you'll be back. And then Sunday night, Lord willing, we'll do that service or a report on the work at Zimbabwe. But with that all being said, I want to talk about time. Because time is so important, and time is so fleeting, and it's yet the most precious commodity that each of us might have and possess. And so we have to ask, you know, what is time before we even talk about how to use time correctly? Now, it's interesting. A lot of things are said about time. Time is money. You ever heard that? Well, it's interesting. It is called money, but yet once you spend it, you can never get it back. And time being money, you can use time to make money, but you can never use money to buy more time. So while it is called time, it's very, or money, it's very different. You know that sometimes time flies. Here we are in July already. The year just goes by so quickly. And you say, well, that's every year of your life. But trust me, as you get older, it gets faster. I remember when Faith was just a little girl. How old are you now, Faith? 12 years old. Where did that time go? It's interesting when you make plans to go somewhere and you anticipate. Maybe it's a trip. Maybe it's a vacation. You know, our trip to Africa, there's a lot of planning, 6-7 months ahead of time. And finally, you'll get there, you know, and it's 15 to 20 hours just to get there. 15 hours one flight and 5 hours another. And you think that plane ride will never end. Guess what? They always do. And while you're there, you might get tired. You might think of back home. But all of a sudden, you're on the plane doing the same 20 hours back. And all of a sudden, you're here. And it's like it never happened, because things just continue to go on. And so we all experience the same thing, don't we? The time, it seems to fly away. Now, literally, it doesn't fly. It just ticks. Some people talk about, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm just killing time. You can kill time, can't you? You can waste time. And killed time can never be recovered. It never can be brought back to life. If you lose it, you'll never find it. We say, well, I'm making up time. You can't make up time. Because once time is lost, it's lost forever. It can never be recovered in any shape or form or manner. So we ask, what is time? Because I'm running out of time. I only have 15 minutes to talk, and you guys will all be thinking about dinner, won't you? Because you'll think it's time to eat.
And so time is running out on all of us. But does it run out? It never runs up, or it never runs in, it runs out. But what do we mean? What is time? Now, I ask these questions because I want you to consider how important time is to us. It is said the only thing you really own, and that's time. You might not have money, you might not have wealth, you might not have physical ability, you might not have social status, you might not have an education, but there's something that each of us have that no one can take from us, and that's the time, this very moment. And how we use it is up to us. It's within our power and within under our control. And time is really what we want the most of. And it's what often we use the absolutely worst. Yet if we take care of the moments, the years are going to take care of themselves. As Benjamin Franklin said, lost time is never found again. Well, how do we define it? Let's try to define times. There are several dictionary definitions that are hard to understand. And they talk about a succession or measured period of time in which events take place. The Wikipedia definition perhaps is the most helpful in many ways. He says time is a dimension in which events can be ordered from the beginning to the end. And it can be measured in durations of those events. And really, that's how we view time. Because when we think of it as a linear event, because in the beginning God created, and there is time going on from it to eternity. And here we are in July 9th, 2017. And so we think of time as this linear measurement of events as the clock ticks. But I want to suggest to you it's much more than that. And if we don't see time as it really is in God's eyes, we're not going to appreciate how to use it effectively. And so when we talk about time, just some observations about it. It can't be stopped. Wouldn't it be nice in life you could just go, time out? I mean, many times I want to freeze life. Everyone's just kind of frozen. You ever thought of that? And you can just catch up on all your chores, maybe go back to sleep. You know, you take care of things you never get done, but time out. And then when you're all caught up, you go, all right, time back in. And things just start turning on. Can't do it. You can't stop time. So if you're not ready, so be it. You're not going to be ready, and you're going to just blow the moment. It can't be stored. You know, you can save lots of things, can't you? You can save money. You can save food. But you can't store up time. And it doesn't roll over like time on your data on your clock or your phone, excuse me. Some plans I know that if you don't use all the time, it rolls over to the next month, doesn't it? It builds up. Doesn't happen that way with time as it ticks on the clock. It can't be stretched. You can't make more time out of a moment. Every minute has 60 seconds. You can't make it 120 seconds. It's impossible. There's 60 seconds. You can't stretch more time out of every minute. You can't share it. Wouldn't it be nice? A lot of people waste time. And I'd love to borrow some of your time. Well, just give it to me and I'll use it. But you can't share time because time is so individual. It's yours. And what you choose to do with it, well, that's what will be done with it. And if it's wasted, it's wasted and lost for all time. But if it's used profitably, that's so be it. But you can't share it with anyone. It can't be retrieved. Well, I lost time on that one. Can you ever make up time? When you go and traveling and you're behind on schedule, you're supposed to be there at 10. You were supposed to leave at 9:30 and it's 9:40 when you leave. Can you make up time? We said, well, yeah, I'll just travel faster. No, that's just choosing to use the time you have in a different way than you would have normally, right? Do you make up time? No, you just make up distance. Well, more quickly you travel it, but you will never retrieve those lost 10 minutes. You cannot retrieve. Now, you can restore your marriage, your reputation, your bank account. You can never recover lost time. It can't be borrowed. It can't be shared. Truly, time is the most precious commodity you and I have. And so that's why we want to look in Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul encourages us to use it wisely. And Danny read this for us, but I want you to open your Bibles and look once again, where Paul is speaking to you and me as children of light. We don't live in darkness. We're aware because of God's truth being revealed to us, we have a perspective that the world really doesn't have. And that's why we're not deceived with empty words. We know we're not going to live like the world does. In verse 7, we're not even going to be partakers with them. We were formerly of darkness, but now we're light in the Lord. And so verse 10, we spend our time trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11, we don't participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Unfruitful means they don't bear any fruit. You're just wasting your time if you plant seeds and they never bear fruit. And that's how the world is characterized. It doesn't produce any lasting fruit. But instead, verse 13, all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. And that's why it says in verse 14, let's awake, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So we want to be children of light. And that's why he says the first way to apply this is make good use of your time. Read with me in verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Now, when he says be careful how you walk, he's talking about your behavior. When you look at a person and how they walk through life, that is their behavior. And he says, I want you to make sure you make the most of that time. Now, when we talk about this, we're going to have to realize a couple of things. First of all, time can be wasted, but also time can be redeemed. So when we look at it, look at this tombstone here. I don't know who Jeanette Staples is. And no disrespect for her. I just found her picture on the internet of her tombstone. But that's you and I, isn't it, someday? Now, a lot of times I say, well, not me, because I'm going to be cremated and just scattered. But generally, when they have obituary, what are they going to put? Well, they were born in 1927, in the case of Jeanette, and died in 2006, correct? And then there's, I want you to note that even though there's a birth and there's a death, it's that dash right there. That is her life on this earth, or was, right? You with me? Life on her, for her on this earth did not begin until 1927. She did not exist. Life on this earth ended in the day 2006. And so that dash represents her walk on this earth. How many years it was? You can do the math, and that's what? 79 years, right? It's represented by that little dash. So when we think of time as this linear event, really, your life, your time has a beginning, and it has an end, and then it's over. And it's represented by just that dash. So that's why we call this lesson living the dash. Because that's all you're given. It's just a dash. And it's here today, and it's gone so quickly. That's the way of all men and women. We try to grab more time, but you can't do it. And we look back sometimes with regrets and say, I wish I would have used my time more wisely. Well, I can't undo the past. I don't know what tomorrow may bring, but I can live today as wisely as I can, the moments that I'm given. So let's look at it with that idea, living in the dash. Because first of all, it says, time can be lost. Be careful how you walk. When we look at this concept, just some simple points. There's two Greek for time that you have to be aware of. Not that you're going to be a Greek scholar. The first word is chronos. There's chronos time. Do we have words in English that use this as a root? Chronology. That's someone's sequence of events in their life. Chronology. A chronograph is a timepiece that measures time. Isn't that right? So we have measured time, and it's the ticks on the clock. It's those moments that pass one after another. And so we might ask, how much time, until Jack's done, and then we can go eat lunch. Now, you're asking for a measured time of moments, right? And you're saying, well, if we're lucky, it'd only be 25 more minutes. And so that's a measured amount of time. That's chronos time. Paul doesn't use that word here. He's using the word that you've probably never heard, word. It's kairos time. Kairos is a Greek word, and it means a point in time, or more exactly, a season, an opportunity that has been given to you because the clock is ticked, and now you have a moment where you're going to choose to do something or not. So we might say, how much time do we eat? That's chronos time, 25 minutes. But when the opportunity actually comes, you would say, the time has arrived. What do we mean by that? The moment, the opportunity. Now, that window of opportunity might only last 30 minutes. And if you don't avail yourself of that opportunity to eat, and the door closes for that opportunity, and you come at, the opportunity's at 12 o'clock, at 12:30 it closes, and you show up at 12:40, what will we say? Sorry, the time has passed to eat. Well, I'm hungry. Well, you should have came back then. See, we're not talking about the ticks on the clock. What are we talking about? Opportunity. Opportunity. There's a harvest time that comes every year. And does that imply some urgency? Because when harvest time comes, you have to go out there and harvest before it rots. You can't go too early when it's not mature. You don't want to come too late. I got home and I found the cherries ripe on the tree, and I'll get to that in just a second, but we're going to talk about harvest. Here's some time killers that you can kill time with. We're talking about Kairos time. It's procrastination. Why do tomorrow or today what you can do tomorrow? Isn't that a great statement? Why do today what you can put off till tomorrow? That's foolish talk, isn't it? Because it should be, why put off tomorrow what you can do today? But isn't it easy to procrastinate because of desires that we have? Like, let's go ahead and just do this today, relax, have fun, we'll work on that tomorrow. And the problem with this whole philosophy of life, tomorrow never comes, does it? Because when it is tomorrow, actually it's today, and you're going to have the same attitude, why do today that you can put off to tomorrow? And so tomorrow never comes, does it? You're always putting it off. I'm guilty of sometimes, and I know you have people in the audience like me, analysis paralysis. All right, so you're shopping for something. And the internet's a great tool, but it's the greatest waste of time and makes you procrastinate. I want the best deal on a product, the best product I can find with the best reviews, and before I'll finally buy something, Annie goes, just buy it. I said, no, there might be a better deal or a better product. I got to go check and do some more research. Who's done that? Yeah, analysis paralysis. You can't ever get anything done because you're researching always. Well, that's not as bad because you're trying to use your time or your money wisely. But sometimes we are so indecisive in life. We never choose to do anything. And so opportunity slips by, procrastination. There are 2 days that can steal time from you. Yesterday and tomorrow. So many people are dreaming of relationships in the future. But when those relationships come, they never avail themselves of them. And when they pass, they lament them that they're gone. So many wives, our mothers sometimes, they just want to have a baby. Their life will be complete when they have a baby. That'll be tomorrow. And then when the baby comes, they spend the next 20 years complaining about having a baby. And then when the baby leaves the home, they lament because their child is gone. It's about yesterday and tomorrow. Some people live in the past with regrets and guilt and lost opportunity, but can't do anything about it. And other people live in the future in a negative way, fearful of what might happen. Fear is false evidence appearing real, F-E-A-R. You're assuming something's going to happen terrible, and it never, ever, hardly ever does, doesn't it? Yet we live it as though it's happening today. That's what fear and anxiety does, doesn't it? The false expectations are realized today, and it robs you today of its joy. And so that's what steals time from the moment, is not being able to bury the past yesterday and thinking too much about tomorrow, which you have no control over. The only power you have, the only thing you can spend is this moment right now. That's all you have at your disposal. So there's a failure to set priorities. Church leaders have a problem with this. There are urgent things that come up, little fires. I hear it in their prayers sometimes. You know, be with the elders that they're putting out the fires. There's fires that come up, just pop up. And sometimes Satan is very good. He knows that he gets urgent things to grab your attention. I got to do this. And the important things never get addressed. Is there a difference between urgent things? Oh, I need help. No, you don't. It'll last till tomorrow. We can get to that next week. Oh, but no, 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 no. They're important things. And that's what will often cause us to lose time is because we're dealing with the unimportant urgent and we never deal with the important things. We don't have priorities. It's about opportunity costs, and I'll address that in a second. The last thing is, Paul said, do not be ignorant. He said, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Here's the biggest way you can waste your time. If I am ignorant of what God's will is, and I'm living outside of his will. Now let's just talk about his will. His will comes from his mind, and God being sovereign, his will always come about. His plans for the course of the world, for the governments, the final end of this world, and everything that's happening, it's going to take place. It's like a river flowing, and it will reach its destination. That is God's will, the sovereign God. If I'm living outside of his will, it's the most wasteful thing I could do. Because nothing I will do will have lasting effect. Nothing will bear fruit eternally. It might have a short term, very short benefit, but then it'll be gone that quickly. Because it's the sovereign will of God or it's man's will. Which is going to prevail? How many times I look back that I was living outside of God's will and I wasted maybe years of my life doing what I wanted rather than what God desired. That's the biggest time killer, waste of time there is in our life, that you don't know God's will, and so you're not living it. It's impossible to live what you don't know. So Paul says, understand what the will of the Lord is. I want you to consider just this chart. When you look at people's biggest complaint when it comes to time is, I don't have enough of it. First of all, everyone has the same amount of time in a week. Isn't that true? Everyone has the same amount of time. There's 168 hours in a week, 7 times 24. And so the person that's very, very successful in life, the person that gets a degree, the person that has a great family, a great wife, and the person that doesn't, the person that is in poverty because of choices of their own, they both have the same amount of time, don't they, in a week? It's all about how they use that time. One uses it wisely and the other uses it foolishly, wastes it. So it's interesting, you can break it down. 7 times 8, who gets 8 hours of sleep? That's 56 hours. 40 hours working, some people work a lot more because you got to throw in commuting, eating, family time, that's 42 hours. If you just did this average type of breakdown of time, that leaves you 30 hours a week. And the question is, what are you going to do with it? 30 hours a week. That's a lot to get things done in this life to better yourself. And will we use them wisely or not? It's interesting. 1 hour of TV per day. Never mind what the averages are. They're much higher than that. 2, 3, 4 hours a day. Depends on who, what age group you are talking about. But 1 hour a day as an average is 365 hours a year. So that's not much, just an hour, and I need some time to kick back and, you know, kill some time. But you know what that is? When you divide it by 24, that's 15.2 days, 24-hour days. 365 divided by 24 is 15.2, 24-hour days. So what does that mean? How many people would die to have two more weeks in a year? 2 weeks of vacation, 24-hour days, from one day to, you know, 14 days, actually 15. We'll throw in a bonus. Do whatever you want. Would you go work on something around the house? Would you take a trip? Would you do something you wanted to do to better yourself? 2 full weeks. Free time. That's what you have accumulated in just 1 year, not in 10 years, when you watch just 1 hour of TV a week. So, well, are you saying it's wrong to watch TV? No. But do we wonder why we don't have what we want? And we wonder why we haven't gotten to where we want to be? Because maybe we're killing time. That's 365 stories you can't tell, Bible stories you can't read to your children. One a night, a year. That's 365 hours you can't spend with your wife or your husband. It's interesting, in 365 hours, you could visit every member in this congregation twice for an hour in the next year. Do you mean, you understand that? If we have 160 members, that's 320. You could visit every member, not every family, every member for an hour twice in the next year, just with an hour a day. Think of the opportunities that present themselves. Kairos time, not the clicks on the clock, but opportunities that we just waste because we think, oh, it's just time. It's just an hour. And we could do so much more with it. So that's why Paul says, don't be fools. Don't waste your time, but make the most use of it. But that's the exciting thing. Time can be redeemed. Paul says in his text, redeeming the time, it says the old King James Version. ESV says making the best use of time. The NIV, make the most of every opportunity. The NAS says make most of your time. The word literally means redeem. To buy up, it's a market term where you see something in the market and you see it, it's going to be here today. It's like going to Costco. Sometimes what they have, if you don't buy it now, it's not there next week. You buy it now or else you lose the opportunity. Forever. That's what it means, is buying it up. And so when you think about it, redeeming the time, it's making the most of the word opportunity. Now, that word is interesting. It comes from the Latin word obportu, which means for the port. It's used of seamen and merchants. They're looking to get into the port, and they're waiting for the tide to rise so they can safely cross the bar and get into the port. When that time opportunity presents itself, if they don't act quickly, they'll have to wait for a whole new tide. It's interesting how words come from just practical scenarios. Opportunity means seizing that moment. Kairos time is always never passive, but always active. When you see an opportunity, you grab it, and you don't let go of it. You avail yourself because you know that window is open just for a little while, then it passes, and you'll never be able to do that one thing again. Never. And so that's what he says, buy it up. Buy up the time. For example, one day has 24 hours. 24 hours is times 60 is what? 1,440 minutes. Or 86,000 seconds. So I see JC back there. If someone said, JC, this is your lucky year. For the next 365 days, I'm going to write you a check for $1,440. The number of minutes in a day. A dollar for every minute. Now here's the only catch, JC. You've got to cash that check and spend it every day. And if you don't take advantage of that, the day you fail to cash it and spend it, you won't get the next day's money. In fact, the deal's off for the rest of the year. What would JC do without miss? Every day he gets that check at 9 in the morning. Would he wait till 12 to cash it? The first day he'd be down there at the bank within 5 minutes, right? And they said, what are we going to do with it? Cherry says, let's spend it wisely. He said, no, we'll get more money tomorrow. Let's just buy something. Got to spend it fast. Because you got to spend $14.40 every day. Tomorrow comes around, they get another check. What will he do? Now, maybe the 100th day, he might wait till 12, but would he cash every day's check every day? Because he knows there's a moment of opportunity. If he lets it slide by, he'll never see that money again. that is your time. That's a day in your life. If you don't cash it, redeem it, buy it up, it'll pass by. You'll never get to see it again. That's how we kill time. So Paul uses this very picturesque word. Buy up the time. Redeem it. And that's going to make you successful. Now, this cherries. I came home. We put a lot of work in the cherries. We fight the beavers off of them. We spray them. We try to water them, sometimes with a bucket. And finally, they get big enough. And then you're gone. You come back, and they're ripe. But they've been ripe for a week now. And guess who's been eating them? The birds. And so we're up there on the trees on ladder yesterday morning getting the rest that hadn't rotten because they're overripe and the birds hadn't eaten. It's nothing more frustrating. Oh, that one's beautiful because more go into your stomach than in the bucket. But that one's just beautiful. You pick it and the top is eaten out by a bird. See, the window of time, it started last week, but I wasn't here, so I wasn't able to redeem the time or make the most of the harvest season. And the window closes so quickly, and now there will be no more cherries. That's your life and my life as we live in the dash. It's over just like that. We'll have regrets about time not spent wisely, but I can't do anything about that. But what I can do is redeem today and the opportunities given to me right now. And that's what Paul is encouraging us to do. So let's look at our third and final point, how to buy up time, living life wisely in the dash. He says twice, don't be unwise, but wise. He says, don't be foolish. So in contrast to being foolish, wasting time, we can't live life wisely on this earth. First of all, I just can't repeat enough. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Just know what God wants you to do. Because then you're living under his umbrella of sovereignty and in his wisdom and his power, and you know it's going to work out. Why? Because God's in charge of all things. That's why we come to worship him. That's why we use some of those 365 hours in a year reading his word, not because we're trying to be intellectually cognizant of the Bible and just have a knowledge of it. We want to know his will because we want to know the mind of God so I can implement it and execute it in my life so I can have success each and every day. See, Christian maturity doesn't happen by chance. It doesn't come automatically. It comes by people that understand Kairos time. It's a season. And they buy up the time and they use it to grow spiritually by reading God's word and trying to meditate and come to know God, not just his word. Too many people have a knowledge of the word, but they don't know God. They don't know how he thinks. They don't know his heart, his compassion, his holiness. They don't know the wrath that he's going to bring. And so they don't live accordingly. And so Paul's pleading, understand the will of the Lord. Psalm says this. Man's life on this earth is 70 years. If by due to strength, 80. So he says, you know, it's just that quick. So he said, Lord, here's the prayer. Teach us to number our days. Teach us. That means you don't do it naturally. Numbering your days is not something you come by just, oh, yeah, I think I'm going to number my days. What does it mean to number your days? Realize life is fleeting, and the moments are passing quicker than they did yesterday, and if you don't grab on to every opportunity, pretty soon it's over and you're done. That's the procrastination. No, I tease Ray. Ray, how old are you now? 91, right? And I just tease him. He's living on borrowed time because 80 is it, right? He's taking 11 years from someone else. Now, you go to Africa, I'm an old man. Because in Zimbabwe, they number their days to 48. That's the average age. Can you imagine that? Most of you would be dead in here already. And so they have a whole different perspective of life and buying up the times because it's even compressed into a shorter time frame, Chronos time. The opportunities. So I'm an old man. And I don't know how much I have, but when you teach or we learn to number our days, you value every moment that is given you as an opportunity. And so that's what he says to do. Make proper goals. Now, I want to talk about proper goals real quickly, because maybe we'll have to have a whole lesson on this, because we're going to talk about what we have to do in the future here in this church, especially if BJ's leaving, because he carried a lot of load here. There are good goals and there's bad goals. A lot of times we make unrealistic goals and then we say, I'm going to do something and it's out of my control. For example, I'm going to have the best marriage in the world. That's not a good goal. So what? Because a marriage involves my wife and I, right? I can do the best I could do, but if she doesn't do her part, will I have a good marriage? No, that's not a good realistic goal because I cannot produce it. But here is a good goal. I will do everything God asks me to do in His will to be the best husband that I can be so I can have a good marriage. Is that under my control? See, it has nothing to do with her, but I'm going to do everything God asked me to do. A lot of people say, my goal is I want my children to go to heaven. That's noble. It sounds good, but you have no control whether your children get to heaven. Is that not right? Because that's their faith. They have to decide to choose God. But you could make this as a better goal. I will do everything as a mother or a father to be an example of a Christian, and I will instill in them God's will so when they get older, they'll choose, hopefully, to become a Christian. Is that a good goal? Because that's all within your power. Being the proper parent, spending those 365 hours teaching them God's word, reading those 10,000 Bible stories that are in the Bible. You can do those things, but you can't make them be a Christian, can you? And everything that we have in the church and in your financially and your relationships, you have to have goals that are under your control. I'd love to have 100% attendance and see that every Sunday. It's not under my control or the elders' control. But I can choose, I'll be here every Sunday and set that example. And I'll encourage others to do the same. See, that's a goal. So they have to be specific. You got to name what you're going to do. I'm not going to be a better person. No, I'm going to start forgiving like I should forgive. I'm going to control my temper. Measurable. You have to have a way to measure your goal. In other words, I'm going to give so much a year. That's measurable. You can determine amount as you've prospered in your heart. And then at the end of the year, look, did I meet my goal or not? And sometimes you put a time frame on it, so it has to be timely. In other words, by this time, I'm going to have this done. And so it has to be achievable. You know, I'd love to be an NBA basketball player. Quit laughing. Even when I was 20, that wasn't achievable, right? So it has to be achievable and realistic. Make proper goals. But if we don't set goals, if you don't know where you're going, you'll get there fast. Nowhere. If you don't know where you're going, you'll get there real quickly. Nowhere. And that's why Christians set goals. They're trying to achieve something to become more like Christ. There's our lesson. Why did I talk about this? When you go to Africa and you realize how short their life is, and you come back and realize, boy, I don't have much time either. And it's sobering, but it's also exciting because you can fill each day with all the joy and love and opportunity that you can muster. If we just have this attitude that we're going to be good stewards of our time. Now, again, I don't know who Mary Kane is. It's not the Mary Kane we know. But she was born in 1911 and died in 1973. Nobody knows her here, do you? I asked the gentleman there, and we had a preacher seminar. I said, when you die, no one's going to remember who you are. Your children, maybe. And I asked this fellow, what were your grandparents' name? And he goes, he couldn't remember. He didn't remember his grandparents. So everyone started laughing. And then I think he came up with one name. I said, well, tell me your great-grandparents' name. Couldn't tell you one. If you think you're going to have this lasting remembrance on this earth, the only one we're fooling is ourselves. No one knows who this Mary Kane is, do you? And that's going to be your tombstone someday. And the only thing you have control of is that dash, that little mark. See, time for you, Chronos time, began when you were born. Yeah, there was time before, but for you and me, it began when we were born. Isn't that right? And Chronos time, the ticking of the clock, will end when you die. That's the only time that we live on this earth. But that Chronos time is full of opportunities, Kairos time. They present themselves in places and in ways you'll never imagine. And Paul just says, let's be open to them. Keep our eyes open to the opportunity so we can buy them up and redeem them before they slip through our hands like grains of sand. Don't be foolish, but be wise as children of light. If you're with us and you realize, I'm not a child of God, that's the most foolish mistake you could make. And you can correct it right now. Here's your opportunity. Scripture says, today is the day of salvation. I got to take care of some things. No, take care of it right now. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Well, I don't know if I can live a perfect life as a Christian. No, don't you fear tomorrow to paralyze today. Today is the day of salvation. If you're not a child of God, or as a child of God, you have wandered away, I don't know what excuses or reason you have not to seize the moment, but don't be a fool. Walk in the light. Become a child of God right now. Come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.